Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, we're in the jackpot now. Welcome in. Final hour of the program. Mike Harmon alongside the three-time Pro Bowler, the All-American himself. It's LeVar Arrington. He's in for Jason Smith tonight. Fired up to be here with you, buddy, as we got some fantastic finishes ahead.
Indeed. Let's get the fantastic finishes going.
Gotta love some chaos. You get to
the fourth hour so quickly,
yeah.
Mike.
Oh, it does.
Golly.
It does.
Like when I'm with you, it just when I'm with you, Mike, it's like such a euphoric experience doing radio with you. I just so enjoy having the opportunity to allow everybody in on the relationship that we share for 4 hours, especially when we get the opportunity to join up unexpectedly late night.
Fired in
well,
there.
Well, you know what? Sometimes you have some surprise rendezvous, and, you know, maybe it's long-lasting. And that's what we're doing here on Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, y'all, you want to know what me and Mike do? We make radio romance.
We want to know.
Yeah, well, I just told you.
Might have to start adding some of that.
For y'all. Sports radio romance.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love of sport.
You can't.
No, you can't quit.
No,
you can't. It's just, when will I see you again? We start singing all those songs.
Oh, okay.
You know, the karaoke version, the bars are opening back up, buddy.
Yeah,
you better get those pipes ready as we take over. We're watching the Lakers and the Knicks. 18 seconds remaining, 101-99. Now the Lakers have pulled back ahead. Just an absolute thriller of a game. This has been fantastic with some familiar faces, some new heroes emerging over the course of the night. We had a steal by Derrick Rose, taking the ball away from Talen Horton-Tucker at the 1 minute mark. And then Julius Randle with 38 seconds left gets called for traveling. 21.1 remaining. Talen Horton-Tucker, 25-foot three-point shot, and then a foul puts the ball back in the hands. They had one to burn. So the last-second shot from the Knicks, it's no good. The Laker fans around me celebrate, and LeBron creeps out onto the court. All celebratory now. All celebratory now. See, he was smarter than the average bear because he knew his guys could beat the Knicks. At least that's going to be the tale that's written tomorrow.
Unbelievable in overtime. What a thriller it was.
It's everything you wanted and then some.
Yeah, well, there you go. And good for them because they're trying. I mean, what? They have three games left? What is it?
Three more games. You got a game against Houston tomorrow, Indiana on Saturday.
But they're known to lose to teams that they're not supposed to lose to.
Correct. And then at New Orleans on Sunday to close out the season. Now, from all reports, LeBron James will, in fact, be available tomorrow. But you know what? He was supposed to be available tonight. So after winning this game, perhaps the thrust for him to play against the Rockets isn't there.
Hmm.
Right? If they would have lost this one and you're coming down to the final three, maybe everybody doing their scenario building and doing the fuzzy math, that maybe it would have made sense. Hey, you know what? We need you tomorrow. But now that you beat the Knicks and R.J. Barrett with that 32-foot shot that goes Brick City to end the overtime period, maybe by escaping with this win, you don't feel as compelled to let him play. If you can buy him another couple of days of rest when you're playing such an abysmal, can I triple underscore that, abysmal,
yes,
riding out the scene. It's kind of like watching Toronto at this point. They don't want to be there.
You know, I was scared to use that word for a really long time.
Really? I mean, I guess coming out of a locker room, as you did, hearing that anybody didn't give 100 or that they'd quit, given up, whatever euphemism you want, I could imagine that would be bristling.
You saw how I accompanied me saying that with silence?
Yeah, there was a long pause there. I really thought you were going to either spit verse, start singing, or tell me you love me again. I wasn't quite sure.
I just knew that you would jump in on it and try to make sense of it for everyone. And after you just did, the reason being is that it sounds way too much like Pepto-Bismol. So I never wanted to use it.
Yeah,
that's a true story.
Yeah, no, it's a tough phrasing, right? And I'll tell you from, you know, not having been a professional athlete and having been in this business as long as I have, it's rare that I call it out and rare that you get to a point in a season where you, because I don't want to ever say that a player isn't giving his all. But there are times, and you and I talked about this story on Sunday, right? For Toronto, it's been an awful season, and most folks wouldn't remember that they've actually been playing in Florida this whole time.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, that too, because they're not allowed in
right? They weren't allowed back in Canada. So you want to talk about all the other advantages. Hell, they were getting booed by the people of Tampa like they were a home team down the stretch. They had COVID issues all over the place, injuries. Like, not that every team didn't go through those, but you also don't have the ability to go back to your bed.
It was an abysmal. See what I mean? I hate it.
No, but everything that could go wrong did for them.
It was an abysmal season.
Right? And then you look at Houston. I mean, what the hell are you going to do when a guy literally goes up to the podium and goes, my guys aren't good enough to win here and I want out? And you're all looking around the locker going, he's right.
He's right.
He's right.
But I hate him for saying it.
Right? Everybody hated him for saying it, and then he went and got it. By the way, they're doing a tag team thing going, six-man tag thing in Brooklyn because Kyrie Irving takes the shot to the face today, left the game. James Harden reportedly will be available to them tomorrow. So it's it's been a revolving door. We're still under 10 games played for the three stars of the Nets as we get ready for the playoffs. We'll talk to Kurt Heelan coming up about 10 minutes from now, make some sense of this final week of the NBA season. But when we talk about the game of Houston, I have to wonder if that isn't the Lakers' philosophy after winning this game. LeBron's like, I just bought three more days off.
They're going to end up in that playoff. They're not getting out of that. They're not getting out of the playoff. And what does that mean?
They are currently at 39-30, sitting in the 7 seed. They are a game behind the Mavericks and the Trailblazers.
Which would mean 7, is it 6? Or it's 6 through 10, correct?
No, it's 7 through 10. So
7 through 10.
The 6 seed plays the 3 seed. So right now, Dallas would play the Clippers.
And who would the Lakers play today?
Today, they would be looking at, well, your squad.
Go ahead. Say the name.
They'd be playing
say the name.
Andrew Wiggins and the Golden State Warriors. You like the way I did that?
Did I say this last Sunday on the show? This Sunday on the show? I said on one of the shows. I'm losing track of what shows I've
said. Well, no, that demands you're opening mouth saying things and building an empire.
You definitely said my team. It's not my team, but however, I did say it was you. It was you because I recall distinctly saying that if they mess around and have to deal with Steph Curry right now, that's the reason why your boy LeBron said the person that came up with this playoff has to be fired. Because Steph Curry is going to chef them right on to their homes for an offseason. And the playoff, before the playoff. He's going to send them home as Chef Curry Ginsu knife in the play-in to the playoffs.
How appropriate that we're talking about that after doing our little cooking thing. And I sent you a picture of the pork that I smoked.
Oh,
let me tell you,
that shoulder looks amazing.
Yeah, no, that was beautifully that one. I'm pretty proud of. I might take a picture of it and frame it. But the Warriors did win tonight. They beat the Suns 122-116. I said it as Andrew Wiggins. Why? Because, well, tongue in cheek, but also, he led them with 38 points, and folks have forgotten this kid can play.
Well, he wasn't like
supposed to be a number one.
Yeah, he was the next one.
But you know what I mean? Like, he's a guy coming into tonight was averaging 18-3 and 4.8 a game, and to have most people tell you about this Warriors team, it's Steph and a bunch of nobodies. I'm not saying he's lived up to the number one overall pick. When you get drafted to, you know, as he did, and then you're playing in Minnesota and all the way through. You didn't have a lot of opportunity to really do a whole lot of anything. Yeah. And as a guy who's got to come in and be the leader, right? Normally, number one picks, the team's bad, but there's usually at least one guy on the squad that you can count. Minnesota didn't have that really at all. And so it was, everybody expected him to come in and be a 30-12 kind of guy. He gets traded to the Warriors as a, all right, that was a nice run. Let's see what he becomes. He's had a pretty nice, like, his career average is 19.5, right? He was 22.4 before he came over to the Warriors, then 19.4, and he's averaging 18.3 this year. And when you look at Oubre on occasion, has had some big games. I'm not saying that it's a murderer's row, but you certainly got guys that have contributed. And tonight, they needed every bit of his activity as Curry went 7 of 22, including 1 of 11 from 3 to finish with 21 points. So a big win for them.
Hmm. How about it?
And Jordan Poole off the bench, adding 20, second-year man out of Michigan as well. So
you know what that spells out?
What's that?
Danger.
Well, that's just it, right? As you and I have talked about, it's kind of like the NCAA tournament to a degree, right? Where you may not have the best team, but if you got a guy that can put 40 in, you're dangerous.
Danger, man.
And in a situation like this, where even though he finished the game, Anthony Davis, a couple of times, slow to move. And you and I have chronicled that going on a couple of months on our Fox Sports Sunday show. But certainly, you know, as we had talked about it and wrapping up that LeBron James quote, this is the team you don't want to see for a short turnaround, right? For a, you know, loser leaves town when you're playing two games. I mean, this potential disaster for you.
I mean, when you think about where everything is right now, currently, everything is wide open. Eastern, wide open. Western, wide open. So if you deal with a Milwaukee right now, you could be in trouble.
Don't sleep on them, right? We've talked about it a little bit. That's a team that's kind of gone quietly saying, prove it.
Yeah, right. If you sleep on the Zards, as we call them, and they find, I mean, maybe they don't make it in. I don't know.
No, they're getting in. They're three games ahead of the Bulls. Bulls lost to the Nets tonight. So they're at least in the play-in. And Boston lost Jaylen Brown. And then you have Charlotte and Indiana.
Yeah, so, but yeah, they're on the cusp. They could actually fall out, correct?
Well, they'd lose out, and then they'd be tied with the Bulls. And then we start going to tiebreakers we'd have to look at.
I'll say this. You don't want to sleep on the Zards if they get into the playoffs.
Well, and you got Tyshirt all of a sudden paying attention, thinking you're talking about Pokemon and Charizards. Mm. You don't want to sleep on those two. Those are a lot of money graded.
I'm speaking of the Washington Mystical Wizards. Did you like that?
No, that's good. That's
because
good.
Their
like
women's team is the Mystics, by the way.
That is true.
Anyway, I digress. The points that I'm making is that these teams are it's like, what are you going to do? You look at the Nets. The Nets are in second place, but we don't know what they're going to be, what they can do once they get to the playoffs, because we don't know who's playing.
Throw out some more ifs.
Yeah, there are a lot of ifs connected to the Nets, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Well, think about it. There are a lot of ifs connected to Embiid.
Yep.
And Simmons.
And Simmons in playoff mode, absolutely.
We already covered the Nets. The Bucks, there's a lot of ifs. The Knicks, there are a lot of ifs. And once you go on beyond that, I mean, it's just ifs all over the place. So from top to bottom, from 1 to 10, it's ifs. You go into the Western Conference. The Jazz, they're the number one team.
And Donovan Mitchell hasn't played till mid-April.
So there's ifs. The Suns, they're not a dominant number two team. There are ifs. Okay, CP3 is playing very well. They got some momentum.
But we get to play off CP3.
Come on, man. The Clippers, they're going to give you ifs. The Nuggets, they're intriguing. There's a whole lot of ifs. They're intriguing, but if they do this, they may be in trouble. If they don't do this, they may be okay. Trailblazers, like, a lot of ifs. and all the way down.
All the way down. This brought to you by Laker fans. The if segment of the show.
So looking at where everything is currently, I'll just say this because I know I ran long again.
No, you're good. No, you're good.
The point I'm trying to make is this is an if playoff. It is a by default playoff. So in other words, this is going to be one of the most entertaining playoffs that we've experienced because there is no clear cut they are. It's just all if they.
Isn't it great?
And that's the thing. Yeah.
It's great theater. It goes back to the point you made in hour one.
I think so.
The great drama that is live sports as we watch it here on Fox Sports Radio. Best reality TV that you've got night after night.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome back in. Fox Sports Radio, Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here. LeVar Arrington in for Jason Smith tonight. We just had a thriller finish at Staples Center as we're coming down the stretch. This is like watching the end of the Kentucky Derby, although I don't think we'll have the same sort of questions after we're done with it, LeVar.
Well, you know what? Somebody got touched the wrong way and something got onto their leg or their arm and it was absorbed. And, you know, God forbid they do a test on them as a random, you know, drug test. And then they pop, you know, for a performance enhancer, you know. I got to tell everybody.
Yeah.
There's been times where I've heard of people getting touched with somebody who had a glove on, one of the rubber gloves where they put the stuff on their sore muscles, and they tested positive. I'm joking, but
the clear and the
really
cream. Look at you getting all Barry Bonds.
Hey, listen, I was joking. But then actually I started thinking about it, and that has really happened.
Yeah. No, this is not that far-fetched. See, it's taken from the headlines like it's a Law and Order story.
I was really joking for like 2 seconds, and then it really hit me like, no, I really have heard of dudes that was using creams that had steroids in them, and they pop positive.
See, that's it. Got to know what's in there, right? No Jeez. Excuses, as they say. Hey, how about we go out to the hotline now?
Come
joining
on,
us, our buddy joins us here as we get ready for playoff talk in the National Basketball Association. Lead NBA writer, managing editor over at NBCSports.com at Basketball Talk is where you find him on Twitter. It's our buddy Kurt Heelan. Kurt, that was a dandy tonight, buddy.
That was, man. That was huge for the Lakers. By the way, I'm just sitting here with Bob Baffert. He gave me a shot. I'm sure that's okay.
Nice.
Though, right?
You'll be running through walls any second now. If you turn green and suddenly your shorts turn purple, all good things. You'll be able to orchestrate a time heist to go do whatever you want in this world.
Was it brown
exactly.
or clear?
No, I got to say, this was the toughest game left on the Lakers' schedule. They've got soft ones the rest of the way. And it keeps alive the idea that they might not go to the play-in. They're not in control of their own destiny. Portland wins two of their last three. Portland keeps the sixth seed. They have the tiebreak. The Lakers can't catch them.
Well, there you go.
But it keeps. You know, hey, you've got three winnable games left. You win all three. You put some pressure on Portland. Portland's final three is like Utah, Phoenix, Denver. It's like it's not an easy road. So hope springs eternal in Los Angeles. And of course, Laker fans, as always, will handle that rationally.
Yeah, but here's the problem that I'm having, Kirk, is that they are going to end up in the play-in because when you think about it, the Lakers have the propensity to lose the teams that they're supposed to beat. There's going to be one game that they drop, and it's going to give Portland that extra added tad bit of cushion where they didn't have to win two in a row or win the two. They just have to win and play because the Lakers are going to give one up.
And then the rationale is that's better because you'll probably get Phoenix, and that's easier than playing the Clippers in the first round, right? So it was all part of the grand plan.
So it's Phoenix, not Golden State.
Well, they'd face Golden State in the play-in.
Right.
Whichever team wins that first game, probably, and again, this it's nothing is settled, which has been kind of the fun of this year, but it's probably Phoenix. And
right,
Phoenix,
I got you.
I will say this. Phoenix is the team that scares other teams the least right now, and mostly just because they're inexperienced. They haven't been to the playoffs before, and there is a certain – in the NBA, man, there's just a certain rite of passage. Guys kind of have to learn how to win, and there's not – I mean, they have Chris Paul – they got a whole lot of guys who have never been to the playoffs.
So, Kurt, riddle me this, Batman. Frank Vogel, when we saw him going into the weekend, asked about the medical status of LeBron, just said, is it a medical reason he's not on the bench? And he went, no, very tersely, had some weird body language, whatever. LeBron's back out there tonight and celebrating and having fun. They probably bought him. He doesn't necessarily have to play tomorrow against Houston, does he? And
he doesn't
where is
have
he?
To. He doesn't have to. He is supposed to. And remember, the other part of this, and he will be there and probably suited up. This is the banner game for the Lakers. They handed out the rings that first night on national television with no fans in the building. But now with the what are they up to, 4,000 and change or whatever
something
they're allowing
like that,
in Staples. Yeah, they're going to unveil the banner. So. I think he's going to be out there. The thing is, they're playing Houston, who has
quit.
Let's just say they might as well be coached by Patton. They're tanking so much.
Nicely done. No, you can't say that.
It's a way to ease LeBron in, right? Like, you're going to get the win. Ease LeBron in with fewer minutes and less stress on him than there would have been even against the Knicks tonight. And then he plays one of the two on the other back-to-back, probably. I know that there's one more back-to-back after this, and even though they're soft teams, I doubt he plays in both.
I said there are a lot of ifs. I said this is an if playoff.
Yep.
And the reason why I say it's an if playoff is because every team is deserving of ifs. If they do this, if they can do that, if they can get this done. There is no team that I look at this year and I say there are no ifs. This is the team to beat. This is going to be the dominant group. Do you concur or do you disagree?
No, I completely concur. I have said for a while I might pick the Lakers to come out of the West still, depending on how this shakes out. I want to see LeBron play, but only because I feel like I'm more comfortable answering the if questions about them than I am anyone else. I know what LeBron and Anthony Davis can do. I know how they're going to raise their game in the playoffs in the West. And every other team, all top three in the East, certainly the Clippers and Utah and everybody else, I don't know. And it is just, like you said, it's a lot of ifs. And I think that makes it more interesting because normally, for the last how many years in the NBA, I feel like we've gone into, not last year in the bubble because that was just weird, but like every year before that, we'd go in going, oh, well, good luck
they
beating Kevin
it.
Durant and the Warriors, man.
Yeah, they got it. Right.
Right.
And occasionally they did lose, but you knew, like, that's the bar and good luck clearing it. I don't feel that way this year.
I should have concurred. All right, we needed another movie reference, so I got the Catch Me If You Can reference as I go. Kurt Helin with us here, Fox Sports Radio, Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, LeVar Arrington in for Jason Smith tonight. Okay. Kurt Helin, of course, the lead NBA writer, managing editor over at NBCSports.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at Basketball Talk. So if there's a team from the back of the pack, so fifth seed or lower, that you would say, hang a star on them, they're dangerous. Who are you feeling as we're coming down the stretch here, Kurt?
I mean, outside of the obvious Lakers.
Yeah, they don't count.
Yeah, that's like that.
Because we don't treat them like that, right? they're healthy.
No. I'm trying to run through it in the West. Denver's probably going to finish fourth, so now we're into – Dallas is a team that I will say has the potential. They're going to need Kristaps Porzingis to actually play like a number two.
Mm-hmm.
But – Luka Doncic is legit, and we've seen him make big shots in the playoffs. They have a nice collection of role players. They have a really smart coach. That is just a I think it's a fairly well-constructed and balanced team. They haven't really lived up to expectations this year, but I feel like that's a team in the West that could get on a run and upset some people. In the East, probably Miami. Miami still, when Jimmy Butler's been on the floor, they've been good this year. And they, I mean, outside of maybe San Antonio, I don't know that any team, or maybe Washington, nobody got smacked by COVID and everything else quite like they did. And they're just kind of getting their rhythm back.
Everyone will sit there and say, we've talked all this NBA, and we've only mentioned, I believe I heard Mike mention him maybe once. I haven't mentioned it at all. Just how extraordinary is this Russell Westbrook story and what he's accomplished with these triple-doubles?
It has. I think sometimes it gets played down. I think we kind of just take it for granted because offensive production's up. But, I mean, he's had 182 of them in the last, you know, and we kind of, like, take it for granted in a way we should not, because getting, you know, double digits, rebounds, assists, and points in an NBA game, it's not easy, man. Like, there's just no easy part of that. And I also think that what gets sometimes over, Russell Westbrook is the one star, or one of the stars, who just brings it as hard as he can every time he steps on the floor. There's no coasting. There's no easing into the game. There's no LeBron on defense in Cleveland. He is all out all the time. And that's an incredibly admirable quality that we just don't, it's what we always want, whether we're watching LeVar on the, you know, on the football court.
I was all out all the time too.
Right. And the players who are like that, we just admire. And Westbrook is that guy. Westbrook, there is no easing into the game for him. He has one gear, man. And that is, I mean, he's a future Hall of Famer because of it. Like, you know, whatever happens with his titles, whatever happens with, you know, look, does he make some odd decisions at end of games at points? Yes. But but you're not in those games without him doing everything he does.
Well, and to just put it in perspective, we did a deep dive on it. It's in the podcast world for Fox Sports Radio. But for Russell Westbrook, if I'm remembering correctly, it's almost 75% winning percentage when he has a triple-double. Right. It's not like it's empty stat stuffing that everybody wants to say.
It is. It is. Yeah. I could say it's 75%. And he's been on some good teams in there that won a lot of games. He's been on some not exactly good teams, including, you know, they've come on the second half now in Washington when they got healthy and they got some better play at center. But I mean, he's been on some rough teams the last few years, and they just win more, you know. And I think the other thing we forget, like the year he won the MVP and he had my vote that year, he was so clutch. He was just unbelievably clutch that year and lifted that team at that, you know, they were a six seed, but they were only a six seed and only in the playoffs because Russell Westbrook was racking up triple doubles and then taking over into games.
How does that play into this playoff? Like if they make it to the play-in, which it seemingly looks as though that's going to happen.
Are.
How dangerous is a team that has a Bradley Beal and a Russell Westbrook that are seemingly starting to find their rhythm playing together? Yeah. Is that minimum danger, or is that if they are this, they are able to do something pretty maybe unexpected?
Well, The you know, run into church and light a candle for Bradley Beal's hamstring, right?
Right.
Like that. I mean,
fair.
It starts there.
If
he's not 100%, then it's
then
moot.
You can forget it, right?
Yeah, but I think that are they going to beat one of those top three teams? Because they're only going to get into the play-in, so they're probably going to get, you know, number one seed Philly, number two seed will probably. Well, I don't know. Brooklyn keeps winning, so let's say it's Brooklyn. Even if it's Milwaukee, I don't think they can beat one of those teams. But it's kind of like seeing, you know, if you're Utah or whatever, like, I don't want to see Steph Curry in the first round. I don't think you want to see Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal in the first round, because they're going to win a game and they're going to push you. You're not going to kind of get to ease into this playoff. So you're going to, you know, the West is that way completely. In the East, the top three teams are a little bit better off. But Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook will make you work for it. And they're getting, by the way, getting great play out of the sleeper on that team, Daniel Gafford.
Coming over from Chicago. Great. He's been fantastic.
Has been huge for them, yeah.
All right, last thing for you. We'll let you go because next week we'll talk all the MVP fun and excitement. Our executive producer.
Is that
producer,
fun and excitement?
I don't know. There's 97 candidates, Kurt. Come on. Every night there's a new guy that gets added to the list.
It's Embiid.
Just because fans chant MVP doesn't mean he gets to make the ballot.
I don't know. Did Joel Embiid now play enough Embiid games to qualify for the scoring lead? Anyway.
That's funny.
Hey, I got to ask. But Justin Frostberg, our executive producer, home on maternity leave, decided he wanted to give you a headline for the website off of this game. The Knicks just got tucked. As Talen Horton Tucker with the big 3-point shot after playing pretty poorly for a good chunk of the night.
That
so there
had
you go.
To have been
he has
before.
He had some rough spots, but I'll tell you, man, that was the guy they wouldn't throw in. I mean, I don't know that they were really going to get Kyle Lowry anyway, but I'm not sure how serious those talks were. But that's a guy who they didn't want to put in there. I can guarantee you this offseason, there are going to be teams calling about him.
No
Talen Horton Tucker can flat out play, man. That guy has got something, and there's going to be a lot of teams calling, going, you know, you guys need veteran help, and we've got, yeah, there's going to be a lot of that going on.
Tell you what, let me know when you need some rookie cards. He's Kurt Heelan, NBCSports.com,
thanks,
lead basketball writer and editor, making it happen. Thanks for hanging out with us and staying up late with us, buddy. I appreciate you.
Anytime. LeVar, keep him out of trouble, man.
We try to stay in as much as we can.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in. It's Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Jason off tonight, back tomorrow for NFL schedule release day. So excited. And LeVar, I'll have to figure out what we're going to cook at the tailgate, assuming that we can tailgate, because at least we think we have the first Sunday night game between the Bears and the Rams. Danny Parkins of The Score in Chicago tweeting that out earlier and talking about it on his show. So maybe some Sunday night tailgating, or if nothing else, some foods near SoFi Stadium for us.
Sure. Justin Fields going to make an example out of people on opening night.
Yeah, I think he'll be the quarterback by then. Everybody's still talking about Andy Dalton as QB1. Not this guy. Look, you went in, and we've talked about it a lot. You can find the podcast, Fox Sports Weekends, Arrington and Harmon, Up on Game, bonus content, and certainly here, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Talked about it a bunch of, you know, as soon as the Aaron Rodgers stuff seemed to hit a boiling point, it might embolden GMs to get a little bit frisky in terms of their draft needs, and that's what we saw as Justin Fields goes to the Bears. We'll get the full release tomorrow. The week one games for Fox will be broadcast, and then all morning shows on Fox News, and then you've got Today and CBS This Morning, like everybody popping out Good Morning America to do a big schedule release. That's how big it is to get those things out. But we'll get the week one and then a primetime edition, and Jason and I will cover that tomorrow night. But going back to the 2004 draft, the draft that changed history, we know the particulars. Eli Manning didn't come down to the Chargers and became a member of the New York Football Giants. Well, he sat down with Trey Wingo and discussed this very move. And, well, maybe all these years later, some second thoughts.
I didn't realize the New York media kind of was what it was at the time. I might have thought a little bit differently. I have been to San Diego since. It's a beautiful, beautiful city, great weather all year round, the golf and the ocean. So, you know, if I knew about the New York media and how brutal they could be, I might have just said, you know what, San Diego's the right spot. I'll just stay out there.
2006, there was a New York Times blogger that published a piece called, quote, "The Eli Manning Mistake," dissecting the trade and why the organization would have been better off keeping Phillip Rivers. And then going on and on, criticizing Tiki Barber, former teammate, criticized Manning's leadership skills and decision-making going back to 2007. So many New York Post articles. There's a great picture, a classic, and this one, even this is 2015. Giants lost because Eli can't count. The $84 million dope.
Jeez.
And they drew him like he was, you know, one of... the seven dwarves with a dunce cap on. They turned the helmet into a dunce cap. But, you know, a trade that changed NFL history. And it's funny when these stories circulate a little bit, because for the longest time, LeVar, I've always just wondered if both Eli and John Elway got a bit of a pass because of the time that these happened. Those things happen now. I mean, look how much we make when a guy decides he wants to go somewhere else.
You know, I think a few guys can get away with it. His pedigree, his DNA, the legacy of it, he could get away with it. Everybody would not be able to get away with doing that.
By the way, Archie was a hell of a quarterback, and folks don't know that because he played for a terrible team.
Yeah, the New Orleans Saints.
The Aints. The Aints. Going all the way back to using the verbiage, the Aints were terrible for a long, long time before Sean Payton and Drew Brees came rolling into town.
That is correct.
So, yeah, just a fun night of sports action, and that Laker-Knicks game that will propel things going through the rest of the week. Obviously, all eyes on LeBron and whether he returns to the court tomorrow against the Planet Houston. But you know what? We got everything we could ask for and then some. We talked Tebow. We talked Brady. We got a little Aaron Rodgers in, and now we close with a dunce cap.
I love it. My old teammate, too. Good dude.
Future Hall of Famer, Eli Manning.
I think so.
I have no doubt. And a guy that can laugh at himself. So anybody that didn't see the SNL episode that he did, go watch that for 90 minutes and tell me you don't like Eli Manning and don't respect Eli face in a whole different level.
Oh, no. The unicorn music.
There it is. Start dancing. He's LeVar Arrington at King of the Mammals on Instagram. Find me over at Swollen Dome. Coming up next on Fox Sports Radio, the wizard of the night, Ben Maller, takes over, takes you deep into the morning. See y'all.